This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to grab your popcorn and your drink. Please take your seat and always silence your cell phones. The next showing of Place to Be Nation's Laughing Theater with Andy Atherton is about to begin.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the theater, the Laughing Theater. I am your host, Andy Atherton, and thank you for joining me tonight. I have a old school movie, very fun, something from the back in the 80s, and I have a first-time guest, somebody I've actually never been on a pod with before, so it's my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Steve Bennett. Steve, how are you?
Hey, Andy, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to do this.
Yeah, glad you could be on the show tonight. Steve is no stranger, though, to Place to Be Nation. Hasn't really been on the pop feed much, but you can hear him on the wrestling feed. He often appears as the third man on the Gold Standard, the Place to Be podcast. That is Justin M. Scott, and gives his great point of views and remembers football scores from the 30-something years ago.
Yeah, it's
I don't know how you guys do that stuff, man. Between that and the wrestling knowledge, I've probably seen a lot of those football games and most of that wrestling, and just I can't remember nothing. But Steve also has a couple of shows he does on his own. First show we're going to talk about, Steve, if you could tell everybody, The Sportscasters. Now, that's a show that you do solo. You get a lot of big guests. I do follow you on Facebook, and
I see
your post. So kind of tell everybody what that show is kind of about.
Sure. So in 2005, really, I started a job as a teacher in Buffalo. So in 2003, I was in college as a regular 23-year-old kid getting ready to graduate, and my appendix burst, and I was in the hospital for like a month, and I found out I had Crohn's disease. So I fought back, and I went back to school, and I got my degree, and I got a job, and I started a career, and I was going along, and everything was okay. And then right around 2010, I hit the bottom. I bottomed out, and I found out I was going to have to be home for a while, that I was going to, at the very least, have to take an extended leave of absence. Didn't know when I'd go back. Knew I needed to do something, though, that I couldn't just be home. I needed something to – I didn't know what, but I knew I needed something. That Christmas, I got a book called Death to the BCS, which was written by a guy named Jeff Passan and another guy named Dan Wetzel. And they had a third guy, although he's not famous. And I read the book, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I have a lot of questions for these guys, and maybe that could be a podcast. I barely knew what a podcast was, but I knew I could do it at home, and I thought maybe this is an idea. So I did some research. I found out who the publisher was. I sent a blind email asking him to be on a podcast that didn't exist, and I got an email back the next day from Jeff Passan saying he would do it. So it's kind of under the gun to create something. And in January of 2011, which is actually the day after the Auburn Oregon BCS game, where Cam Newton led Auburn to the national championship, was the debut of the show. Jeff Passan was the first guest. Greg Wyshynski, the Puck Daddy, was the second. And Richard Deitch from Sports Illustrated was the third. And the show is basically about sports and sports media and the way that sports and pop culture can sometimes intertwine and overlap. And that's been especially important during the quarantine because there's not much sports. So the pop culture and the overlap. Really, it's basically evolved to being a show about whatever I find interesting. initially, I had a partner, a co-host. I always did the interviews, but we would do segments in between the interviews that were with us. He had a second kid, dropped out, so I just kept doing it by myself. And, you know, I'm 9 years in, 10 seasons of the show, 9 calendar years, over 300 episodes. And in 2014, it was named one of the best sports podcasts by Sports Illustrated, and at the time, and still to this day, was the only independent podcast ever recognized in that way by Sports Illustrated. And like you said, I've been lucky to get some great guests. I've built a reputation. I mean, I've had anyone from Artie Lang to Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses to Peter King, you know. So, like I said, I try to just focus on what interests me and bring people on that interest me and loosely base it around sports media, and sports and pop culture intertwining. And it's served me pretty well. And I don't make a lot of money. I've had some opportunities to take it to the next level, but because of my health, I've been very, very hesitant to take money from people. I think like 2 years ago, Slate.com approached me. I had had this guy named Josh Levine on the show, who he's from New Orleans. He went to Brown, and he does the Hang Up and Listen podcast. And he had found out about me because the same year that the Sportscasters was named by SI, so was Hang Up and Listen. The BS Report was named the Sports Podcast of the Year, and my podcast and his and a few others were the, you know, the honorable mentions. And so he heard about me, I heard about him, we reached out, he'd been on a few times, and Slate was going to create a paywall service, sort of like Patreon, but do it in-house. And they built the infrastructure for it, and they wanted a podcast that wasn't huge, so I was perfect, to kind of pilot it, because they wanted something with an audience, but not a huge audience, so that they could troubleshoot more. If something was wrong, they didn't want to have 50,000 paid users pissed at them. They wanted, you know, 2 or 3 thousand paid mm-hmm. listeners, you know. So I was kind of perfect for it, and we went back and forth. And then I kind of negotiated. I was going to get some commercials on all of their shows, and then they decided not to do the service at all because of, I guess, their legal department or whatever. And then a couple days later, I sat down to watch The Dirt on Netflix, and halfway through, it was like, I got to go to the hospital, I think, and ended up having 3 surgeries in the next 289 days. So I got lucky that they ended up not doing it, because that was the one time I was ready to actually say, all right, I'm going to try this. I'm going to start taking people's money. And if I would have done that, you know, it would have been a disaster. So I got a little lucky there. But I've had some opportunities to maybe take another step, maybe not be an independent, maybe join a network, like in that sense. There's a website called Football Nation, which was run by Kerry J. Byrne and some other guys in the Boston area. And I did a paid show for them for a year. They paid me to do the show for a year exclusively on their website.
Nice.
But then the second year, they wanted to renew, and I couldn't because I knew I was not healthy enough to do it for another year. So that's basically the history of the show. Great guests, small audience, well-respected by the – it's almost like a trade magazine for 2020. You know, it's like people in the business are my biggest listeners. You know, the people in sports media seem to be – always paying attention to what's going on there. I get a lot of write-ups, like in awful announcing on their website. You know, randomly, someone will text me. They're like, "Oh, you're on awful announcing today." I'm like, "Oh, that's weird. I didn't reach out." Sometimes I do reach out to them and say, "Hey, this might be interesting," and they'll write. But then other times they'll just do it on their own. But yeah, so it has been for me, if nothing else, something to do as I kind of work through what has been now, I don't know, 17 years and 9 surgeries and everything else that goes with managing Crohn's, which is, I'm not complaining. It's fine. I'm fine. You know, a lot of people have it much worse. You know, every time I've walked into the hospital, surgery or not, I've walked out. So I'm not trying to, like, come off for pity or anything like that. I'm just saying that this has always provided me with something to say and something to do and something to focus on, because like when you go to college and like you expect, you know, okay, I'm gonna go to college, I'm gonna have a career, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna have a family, I'm gonna have a house, all these things you kind of plan. You don't plan to have one of them just ripped out pretty much overnight, so you have to kind of find something to replace it with, and I replaced it with the Sportscasters. Mm-hmm. Basically. Yeah,
I mean, I feel you. You know, everybody check out the Sportscasters, available iTunes, Stitcher, all the anywhere you can get podcasts.
Yeah, Spotify, yep, mm-hmm. Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud. Yeah, @Sportscasters. I know we'll plug later.
We'll let you tell everybody specifically what's going on in the latest episodes at the end of the show. But I hear you there with the passion and everything like that. You know, I always wanted to do podcasts, you know, for a long time. And then finally I had known Scott Criscola for a long time, and just kind of got into it and kind of snowballed really fast into hosting my own pop culture shows. Now I do a couple wrestling shows here and there. For me, it's a creative outlet. Maybe one day, who knows what we could do with some of these things, but right now it's fun and it's a good way, you know, made a lot of fun and great friends. So it's a good way to get your passions out. Talk about what you want to talk about, when you want to talk about, with people you want to talk with.
Yeah.
But you also have another show, which I believe we do feature on the wrestling feed. That is the Adam's Division. Sorry, I almost said Adam's Family. Adam's Division podcast. You host that with the great Peter Winston. What's that show about?
All right, so that is mostly about wrestling. Mm-hmm. Peter and I started to talk very early in his emergence into PWO. I guess he brought his show onto PWO, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
And we kind of just started talking about hockey, basically, is what initially created the bond between us. He's a big Bruins fan, a big Sabres fan. Of course, back in the day, they were in the Adams Division. That's the name why we call our podcast the Adams Division Podcast. But we just kind of made a friendship, and I said, you know, we should do like a side project together. And the plan has always been that we do it quarterly, so we try to do like four a year. And the very first one that we did was Place to Be Nation was doing their 100 greatest WWF wrestlers list. Mm-hmm. And I made one, but Peter didn't. So I said, we've been talking about doing this thing. Why don't we break down my list, and you can tell me what was good, what was bad. We can kind of go back and forth. And we recorded that, and we had fun doing it. And then that's where we said, all right, let's try to do like four a year. And I think so far we've done, we focus mostly on the Hogan era to the fringe of the Attitude Era, say like 84 to 98-ish in that era. But we did one on sports teams, our favorite sports teams, meaning the like year of a team, not just say like, oh, my favorite team's the Sabres, or like, oh, the 06 Sabres, and, you know, for him, the 2011 Bruins or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we've done other things, but for the most part, it is a wrestling show. Last time, we did a WrestleMania card, and our next one, which we're doing in August, is going to be a SummerSlam card.
Nice. Yeah, I'd be the 94 Rangers, if I'm talking hockey.
Oh, I love the 94 Rangers.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you know who John Delapina is, but he used to be a writer for the New York Daily News. He works in the National Hockey League offices now, actually. Mm-hmm. But in 1994, he was covering the Devils for the
FAN or something, right?
For the Daily News, for the New York Daily News.
I remember hearing him, though, on some shows on the Fan.
Oh, he might have been a guest. On the Fan all the time, mm-hmm. especially in 94.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the 25th year anniversary of the Rangers 94 Cup, I wanted to do something on it. And John and I did like about an hour interview where we broke down. We basically started at the conference finals between the Devils and the Rangers, one of the great NHL series of all time, a seven-gamer, two mm-hmm. double overtime games, the Messier
made us Ranger fans very nervous.
Yes. And then we transitioned. Then since the Devils were done, he started covering the Cup then for the Rangers. We did point being, makes a long-winded explanation he didn't need, but I did a really great one-hour podcast on the 94 Rangers. Since you like them, I'll send you the link. You'll love it.
Yes, I will listen to it. That was quite the year. I grew up going to Ranger games, and my one regret was I didn't watch the final game with my dad. I was out with friends, and I remember dancing in a bar. My Messier jersey was soaked by getting sprayed, and yeah, it was such a good time. I got to go to one home game. I think it was against the Panthers in the playoffs. And I also actually had gone to the All-Star game at the Garden that year, too, as well. We were in the front of my dad's company's booth, luxury box, right by the Eddie Jockeman jersey hanging in the rafters.
So I'm thinking the Capitals, probably, right? Red team, round two. 94, yeah. The Rangers played the Islanders, beat them in four. Capitals beat them in five. Devils in seven. Canucks in seven. So that
it was the Capitals. I always get confused.
Probably the Capitals.
Yeah,
red team makes sense. I knew what you meant.
Yeah. So also though, you often appear on the Place to Be podcast with the, you know, since you were on before the Refresh, but now they have the Refresh and you do MSG house shows, and you were actually just on the last episode. How did you come to be part of the Place to Be Nation family?
All right, so one Christmas, I got Madden or NHL or whatever. Mm-hmm. And a thing I like to do is at late at night, play video games and listen to podcasts or whatever. Mm-hmm. So one night I was like, I'm in the mood to listen to someone talk about WrestleMania 3. It's my favorite wrestling event ever by a lot. Mm-hmm. And I typed in WrestleMania 3 into the search in iTunes. And I found the episode that Justin and Scott did on that, on the initial run. At this point, they had gotten up to, like, say, WrestleMania 6-ish. So it was probably, it was pretty early in their run that I found them. And I just really loved, especially pre-refresh, like early in their run, I just loved how they weren't telling me if it was good. They weren't telling me if it was bad. They were more focusing on that it happened and trying to provide context and information about guys coming in, guys coming out. You know, they, I always think when I think of those shows, I think of Scott saying, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. You know, like they always didn't want to spoil anything that had happened 30 years ago. I always loved that about it. And I was just a listener really to the show. And then around the time of the refresh, I think, or yeah, maybe, I guess it was maybe before that, but I just started following them on social media and responding, you know, just writing them like, oh, mm-hmm. I can't believe Justin said this. He's an idiot, you know, or whatever. and we just started talking, and then as the refresh started building, I think, you know, Justin had made a chat maybe or something, or a message board I joined, whatever it was. I just got to know those guys, and as they were doing three hosts more and more, I said, hey, I'd really like to do it, and they had me on, and basically what happens is we do it, and then as Justin's editing, I say, when am I on next? And he just books me in. And I'm kind of like just in the rotation, you know.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, you're on there as much as D'Amato and Peter. You're like, well, probably up there, the top third man.
Yeah, I think D'Amato basically does pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. Peter does Saturday Night's Main Events. And then I basically do like every fourth MSG, basically, is usually what it works out to. I think, yeah. I did 3 of 90, yeah.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be on one show. I already told Justin I was at SummerSlam 91. It was my first pay-per-view. Live in person.
Love SummerSlam 91.
Want to be on that show? Yes, I had. It was so much fun. I think I've been to like 3 SummerSlams, I think, and 1 Rumble, 2 Survivor Series, and 2 Manias.
And then I was at
last three... Elimination Chamber, which was the last event with a crowd.
My famous, most famous wrestling shows I've been to are WrestleMania 6, mm-hmm. Survivor Series, Deadly Game. I was at the Superstars taping where Honky Tonk Man won the Intercontinental title from Ricky Steamboat.
Nice. Which is
one of the worst days of my life. And then I was also at basically every ECW show ever in Buffalo, including pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I think it was November to Remember, I think.
I can't remember what the pay-per-view was I went to, but it was the one right before Scorpio jumped because they were he was getting the You Sold Out chance. I remember that, and I think Brian Lee chokeslammed Tommy Dreamer through like 3 tables stacked or something. It was a wild show. My friend was outside having a cigarette with the Sandman, didn't know who he was because he didn't follow wrestling. He just came to hang out with us. He comes back. He's like, I was outside with that guy. I'm like, really? The Sandman? He goes, yeah. I said, you didn't realize he was a wrestler? He goes, well, you know, he's got the big belt. I mean, he's like, yeah. Guys buy the belts. He's like, we're just sitting out there chatting. And he goes, oh, I hear my music. I got to go.
That is so ECW.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a fun time. You know, and great that you, you know, you're in the family and you appear, you know, regularly on that show, which is the gold standard of the mothership, the show that started all in this place called Place to Be Nation. So, Steve, what movie are we watching tonight here on Laughing Theater?
So when you reached out to me, I knew I wanted to do something from the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I gave you a list of, you know, 6 or 7 80s movies. One that was on the list was Major League, and you literally published a Major League episode the next day of our correspondence. So I missed that one by like a week or two. But I picked the movie Back to School, starring the late, great Rodney Dangerfield. And also Johnny Lawrence is in this film, the enemy of Danielson in Karate Kid. And a young Robert Downey Jr. is in it as well. So I really wanted to do something from this era, and this is the perfect movie, and you were into it.
I love this movie.
Here we are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you say it all. It's got, you know, Rodney, which is, you know, this is a little tame for Rodney. You know, if you put, like, you know, gun to my head, what's my favorite Rodney? I'm probably going to go either Caddyshack or Easy Money. But this is up there, though. And Burt Young is tremendous in this. Keith Gordon, who really didn't do that much in his career, but you did mention the great Billy Zabka.
Yes.
Is in this, who I've actually talked on the phone with. That's a funny story. And Robert Downey Jr. I think this was on cable a few months ago, and I was living challenged my daughter sitting with me, and we're watching. I go, hey, you know who that is? She goes, wow, that's Iron Man right there.
Amazing.
Hard to believe. So when did you first see this movie, Steve?
So I'm almost positive that the first time I seen it was on HBO as a kid. Mm-hmm. Probably the first run it had in home box. I know I was a little kid, and a lot of the jokes were probably over my head at the time. If this came out in 86, you figure sometime in 87, mm-hmm. it probably had its run. And I was, you know, all of 7 years old at the time. But I remember watching it as a kid for sure on HBO. My family would have HBO on and off. Like, I think what would happen is my dad would agree to have it. Then, like, 1 month, he would get the cable bill on just the wrong day where he's all pissed off, and he'd call and cancel it. I can't believe I'm sending this guy. That guy have money. You know, and then he'd cancel it. And then they'd call him back, like, 6 months later, and somehow would convince him to get it again. And it was like a never-ending cycle my entire life. So we would have it. We would not have it. And one of those times we had it, I watched this, and I taped it on a VHS. And
just in case he canceled it.
Well, I started taping movies from HBO, and every once in a while I get busted. You know, I'd tape something I wasn't supposed to watch, and mm-hmm. the tape would get cut up in a dramatic fashion at the kitchen table. My dad would get the scissors out and cut it on me.
That's awesome.
You are not old enough to see the Royal Highness, the Royal Penis cleaned. I'm cutting this up, you know, or whatever. So that would happen every run at least once too. But the VHS of this survived, and I can even recall watching it with my roommates in college when I went to Syracuse as well. So it's a movie I've watched my whole life, really, just about on and off. I love Rodney, and I'm excited to watch this with you.
Yeah, it's great fun. It has a lot of memorable lines, a lot of memorable scenes in it, which I'm sure we'll get to as we go. You know, Sam Kinison. His first film role. He didn't really do a lot of movies, Sam. He was more of a strict comedian, kind of a rock star comedian at that. Sally Kellerman's in it. Lots of famous people, and Ned Beatty will go through it as we talk. But we're going to start that in just a minute. But first, got time to pay some bills. Let's talk about what's going on at PlayStation here on the Pop Feed. Latest Pop Goes to Classics. Miranda and I are joined by our new co-host, Steve Riddle. We continue our trek through the Disney animated features. We discussed the classic film Bambi. On the previous episode of Laugh in Theater, I was joined by Lee Elias of the Geeks Who Like Sports podcast. We watched Back to the Future in time for the 35th anniversary of that great film. Actually, just posting today was one of my, I call it my Laugh in Isolation Theater specials, where we just get a group of us together and we watch something silly. Usually it's on Netflix, so it's easily accessible for everybody. And that was Tim Capel, Jacob Williams, Miranda Berthold, and James Grunberg. We watched 1988's Can't Hardly Wait. It was a thing on TV. The trio looked at the 2020 premiere and Password All-Stars and Password 75. Diamond Conversations dropped two episodes this past week, where Chad welcomed Tampa Bay Rays minor leaguer Simon Rosenblum Larson, and then also comedian Steve Hofstetter on their respective episodes. The latest Piece of the Action podcast, Matt welcomed Scott Criscolo to do a live watch of The Expendables. The latest Year in Pop, myself, Scott, Dr. G, and D'Amato, we discussed all the major pop culture, sports, news, and movies of the year 1983. And on our newest show, Blockbuster Rewind, myself and my co-host Scott Shiflett and Eric Eels, we were joined by Tim Capel to discuss the first blockbuster, Jaws, and its sequels. Be sure to check out the PTMN Wrestling feed, which includes a dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes Place Be Podcast, Main Event, Jenny and the Gems, Body Pressure Luck, PTB NXT, the NWA Saturday Special, much, much more. Subscribe today. While you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith, the Jenny Position. That is the feed that is home of the Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Driving, Journey Through Infinity, Telling Stories, much, much more. And also check out the North-South Connection, brought to you by JT Rosero, Chad Campbell, Aaron George. It is the home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, The Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, Carolina Dreaming, Jeff Lynn's Wrestling, and more. social media pages. The Greatest Song from a Movie Tournament is kicking off. We're making our way through round one. Steve, have you been paying attention, been voting in the tournament?
Yes, I'm so happy that potato chip one is over. Because I just have no passion for snacks, unfortunately.
We kind of have to change it up a little bit. You know, these
fair enough. Yeah,
the music is tournaments are our summer thing. It's a big one.
Yeah,
you know, we do other ones. You know, the food ones. That's just kind of like, you know, passing the time. It's like a little silly. This is the one that we really get into. Like I said, though, we're going through it right now. And actually, there is one song that is featured in this movie that is in the tournament. And we are recording this on the 20th. The show is going up on the 23rd. But on the 22nd, the day before you hear this, and the poll will still be open, Dead Man's Party by Oingo Boingo, which is featured in this movie, is going up against Down in Mexico by the Coasters from the movie Death Proof. So
I've enjoyed trying to balance my decision of where I stand, the song versus the song's placement in the movie, and kind of I've enjoyed that kind of, you know, balance there. Where am I going to put my vote? Am I going to strictly go song? Am I going to go strictly movie or a combination? I know you guys have kind of tried to push it towards more of a focus on the actual placement of the song in the movie. So I'm trying to stick to that, but sometimes there's just no way I'm voting for a song or a movie too, you know. Sometimes it's like, nope, not voting for Do the Right Thing or whatever, you know. It's just like, nope.
Yeah, if you're not a fan of the movie or the song, you know, vote. Look, as long as you vote, I mean, we like it to be fair, balanced, and people to really embrace the spirit of what we're trying to do here in this tournament. Because, you know, it was a point like, do we do movies that are only on songs that are only on soundtracks or songs that appear in movies? And it was like kind of like, well, there are songs that, you know, is it a song that as soon as you hear it, you instantly think of the movie? That's kind of where we're going. Justin actually did a really great explanation on the Place to Be podcast. Yeah, that's kind of what it is. You know, look at the songs, compare it, where their importance is in the movie, how much they may add to the scene, and then take it from there. And if not, just vote for your favorite. I mean, you know, we're not there. You know, nobody's going to, you know, people can complain or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's just a fun tournament for us to all have a good time and have some fun conversations as we do it. So, yeah, that's going to be going on for a while. So check it out. Also, real quick, don't forget, we've officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do your research, promote matches, build your list. Conversation rules can be found on the Facebook page, GWCW matches, or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. And don't forget, check out PlaceToBeNation.com. Each and every day, we have new voices, fresh takes, bringing you articles in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown and Fox Report, This Week in WWE by John Crow, Steve Riddle's Wonderful World of Disney reviews, Paulie's perspective, Matt's live-action Disney movie reviews, Ben's unpopular opinion, and don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn's Wednesday Walk Around the Web. And don't forget doing your online shopping at Amazon.com. Be sure to click on the Amazon banner right side of the Placement Nation homepage or use PlacementNation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to the Amazon and helps you out P2BN with no cost to you. Okay, all that's out of the way. So Steve and I are watching this on Amazon Prime. It's free. So everybody, no excuses not to watch along when you listen. So both paused at the beginning at 000. So on my count, Steve, are you ready?
Yep.
All right, 3, 2, 1, play. And there we go.
Now there's the lion. The
lion is roaring. We're all set. Going to have some fun. Yeah, like I said, though, I love this Rodney movie, but it's like tame compared to Easy Money and some of his other films.
Sure.
But it has a lot of the classic Rodney kind of, not tropes, but like the music is very like, that kind of thing, like, you know, it's a Rodney movie.
And this movie's kind of in the beginning of the PG-13 era, mm-hmm. you know, where the studios, I think, really wanted to avoid some of the, now the tail end of the 80s still has plenty of R-rated comedies, but this is kind of in the beginning of that push towards the PG-13. This is, like you said, a tamer one. This is his kind of PG-13 film, as opposed to, like you said, Easy Money or Caddyshack, which they're both R.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually did see this in theater. I was around 13, 14 when this came out, so I got lucky there. But here we are, kind of setting the stage. There's Jason Hervey. Playing the
young Thornton Melon. Oh, from Wayne's World. Not Wayne's World.
He played Wayne on Wonder Years.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Exactly. Thank you.
Yes. Showing him that going into Melon is Taylor Shop. in probably Brooklyn, it looks like. So, here you go.
Grandpa's a sewer, likes to sew stuff.
Yeah, he's a he's a tailor.
Not happy with this report card, though. I know that feeling, Wayne. I've been there. I remember one year I wasn't allowed to watch Survivor Series.
Oh, really?
Those, yeah, those asshole nuns, they put me right in the tank with a report card once. And...
I had to carry I went to Catholic school, too. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, they went, and my parents, oh, you got to listen more or something. It wasn't even bad grades. It was like I was talking too much or whatever it was. cost me Survivor Series 88, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember that one. That was the, was that the second one?
Yeah, that was the second one. Okay. That was, you know, the one before WrestleMania 4.
Okay. There we go. We got, we got some nice black and white shots of Brooklyn. Paperclip Production. I remember the production company Paperclip. Have to Google that.
Me neither.
So yeah, this is typical, you know, kids growing up in the city in this time during the, looks like the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, probably the 50s. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's kind of a long, you know, titles, and I think they're establishing here the growth of Rodney from little kid. There, he's just diving there. See mm-hmm. that quick cut to the diver. Oh, and he's getting married. Beautiful mm-hmm. wife.
Shot on the beach. Yeah, he goes from Maloney's barbershop to Thornton Mellon's Tall and Fat.
Yep.
And Emmett Walsh. Oh, yeah. Great guy.
House in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And there's our little boy. Mm-hmm. Future diver. Yeah. Oh, handsome little guy.
Oh, Danny Elfman did the music. I never realized that. Yeah, basically he came from, like, you know, a background, and he started this, you know, chain. Self-made man, hardworking, belief in education, though. Yeah, you just
tall and fat. Have you ever been to a tall and fat store? Or they're called, what are they called now? Big and tall, right?
Big and tall. Those were around for a while.
Can't say I've ever been to one. Although, give me a couple years.
Yeah, I'm on my way there myself. not so much tall, though. I'm more grown.
No. Yeah, I'm still stuck at 5'9". I've been waiting for that growth spurt to get me to 6 foot, but it doesn't look like it's coming.
That looked like a shot from Caddyshack. They just had
it. Yeah, it did. There is it.
I love this commercial. Are you pleasantly pump? Hefty side? Let's face it. Are you fat? God. Yeah.
I love that in the post life of Rodney, one of the main things he's been famous for is the fact that he would often just hang out in his robe with his balls hanging down. That's like a thing that he had, like, enormous balls.
Yeah.
Like, I just, what a great, like, legacy to leave behind. You know, like, Jim Carrey was just on Stern the other day, like, talking about the fact that Rodney's balls were often hanging from his robe, that he would walk around his suite in Vegas always in just a robe.
Yeah,
so that's a cool legacy. I aspire to that.
You aspire to one day be just able to walk around with your balls hanging out of a robe.
Yeah. You know, that's like one of the things you're known for. You know, like, I feel like he's finally getting respect.
Yeah, he's got his own building. The Mellon building.
And there's
that. How are you? That's
driver.
Right. Yep. Burt Young. He's got a buffet in his conference room.
Well, they all work for the big and tall shop. So,
yeah. All the executives are big.
They're all fatos. Yep.
Yeah.
Back when you could smoke in a meeting like that. Yeah.
This guy was one of those character actors, always in Italian movies.
Yeah. That guy. He's in that guy from that yeah. thing.
Actually, I remember him in Kid Co, that guy. That was an HBO movie years ago. What else? The Toy Division came up with Melon Patch dolls. Melon Patch kids.
That is too funny. I forgot that. That is really funny.
They're not orphans. They're abandoned. God. Okay, go ahead.
And it gets the green light. He just wants it cheap.
We took a bath on those chubby tubby chub tub toys. He's like, oh, my son's on the phone. Everybody take a break.
Yeah, I like that. Good family man. He's like, cutthroat in business, but when his son's on the phone, he takes a break. I appreciate that.
And they're all trying to get out. Having trouble. How's the diving going? Not so good.
Yeah, there's Jason. Our first look at him. Did he ever do anything besides this? Like, what happened to his career post?
Well, before this, he was actually in Jaws, too. He was one of the teenagers.
I remember that. Yep, I remember that.
He was in some... I remember him in some other movie where he had, like, long hair. But other than that, I don't know what Keith Gordon's filmography is. We can always call it up on the IMDb quickly.
Yeah, I'm looking now. Wow, he got really ugly.
Yeah, he didn't really do much here. You know,
well, he did 6 episodes of Homeland.
He did Fargo and The Leftovers. Yeah, he's probably one of those guys that shows up every once in a while and stuff.
Hey, still working all these years later. I got to give him that. Mm-hmm. Not as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the man. There's the man. Please tell me you're not one of these people who has decided to now, in retrospect, blame Daniel-san.
I haven't watched Cobra Kai yet. I'm dying to.
Oh, it's amazing. It's coming to Netflix. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna binge that shit as soon as it gets there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, I probably mentioned this before, but I talked to Billy Zabka on the phone. A guy who was an editor, his name is Izzy Warby. Sorry. He was an actor. He actually played Freddy in The Karate Kid. And he's now an editor, and I was working with him. And we were just talking one day. He's like, yeah, I got to give Billy a call. And he just calls him. And he puts me on the phone. I'm like, okay. Nice guy, though.
Awesome. Yeah, I am a huge Karate Kid guy. So my daughter is now a Karate Kid fan. I've showed her the glory of it. She loves the movies and Cobra Kai as well. Of course, yeah, would never watch that trash with Will Smith's kid or the new Karate Kid, but everything else we love.
That was my nickname in high school because of my resemblance to Ralph Macchio. So I heard Karate Kid a lot. And here's Adrienne Barbeau as his current wife, his little younger trophy wife.
Yeah, she looks good.
Yeah, from the TV show Maude, or I would say watch Cannonball Run, and you get to see not as much as you like, but quite enough of
Eric. She does get naked. Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. There's a website called nudography.com. You can look people up. Tell you what they got nude in. It's a candy resource. It's kind of like Mr. Skin, but it's more just for reference than, you know, for. I think Mr. Skin, there's like a premium service where you can watch clips and stuff. But
he can see he's like feels so out of place at this. He just wants to sit and have a beer. No cerveza.
Mrs. Mellon, pain in the ass she is.
Oh yeah,
well, she's about to get busted
for his money.
Gold digging bitch. I don't have to worry about that. Thank God. It's one bonus not having any money. Oh my. Adam and Evil.
Oh, I know that guy. That's Robert or something. Robert Picardo. Yeah, that's it. He normally doesn't have hair. You're impossible. He's and you're easy. What was that?
Is he rocking a piece there, you think?
Yeah.
Or you just went bald, you're saying?
No, I think he was rocking a piece there.
That
hair looked like a piece.
Yeah. Born 1953.
Oh, the painting. Yeah, drink up. Enjoy yourself, I tell you.
What'd you say this girl's his wife's name is again?
The actress?
Barbaro?
Adrienne Barbeau. She played, her big break was playing Maude's daughter on the show. Yeah, I hate small foods. He just starts making a sandwich here with the freaking finger foods. And all the people that he probably has all the more money than are sitting there laughing at him. Hey, buddy, come here for a second, would you? Here. I learned this in Europe. It's a lot of lines I use all the time. Got a sandwich. Now leave me alone. How's stuff coming through here?
Oh, man. Adrian's got a great rack. Yeah, there's a few different pictures of her.
There you go.
Black and white ones. She looks good. Mm-hmm. Who's this guy now?
Which one?
I looked away and then I looked up and now.
Oh, yeah. This
is who she's trying to schmooze, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that dress, huh? Isn't it a lovely shade of green? Yeah, if you had pockets, you'd be a pool table. You should come to my tall and fat stores. No offense.
Oh, she's mortified.
Like, hey, buddy, watch my sandwich.
The guy's like, who, me?
That's good. He knows exactly all about. Are you kidding? Your friends, they come here for free food, free booze, and suck up to you for donations. I want a divorce. Really? He has the papers ready. That's awesome.
You know he had a prenup.
Yeah. Well, he also has got Polaroids. Hey. Want to talk class? Here, hold on. All right, here, let me tell you. Here's you and Giorgio. Classy, isn't it? I can't figure this one out. There's you, there's Giorgio. What's with the midget? They got more.
That's like his joke where he's like, you know, me and my wife, we're not having sex that much, but I know a couple guys, she cut out all together.
And now we get a kind of a taste of his diving ability.
Man, Rodney is just, they don't make Americans like this anymore, you know what I mean? Like, he's just a throwback to a different era. Say anything.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't get famous until much later in life, right?
Yeah,
he was almost 50 years old or something before he really hit.
Yeah.
And then, you know what's great about him, too, is then he discovered so many comedians, either through his club or the specials that he did. The one special he discovered, like, Andrew Dice Clay, Sam Kinison, and, like, two other guys, like, on the same night.
Yeah, yeah, those were the Young Comedian specials.
Yeah.
They weren't the same after he stopped hosting them at his club.
He would do the sketches. They actually put out a DVD box set with a lot of them in it. It's really great. I bought it like 10 years ago or so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch it, it's like, who's who? Louis Anderson was one of them. Bob Nelson, Rita Rudner.
Tim Allen.
Bob Saget. Yeah, a lot of guys were on those. He shows, hey, look, Greek letters. Has no clue what. He shows that, look, that Pi New. Yeah.
Music here too, good quality.
Were you in a fraternity up at Syracuse?
I was not. I was only at Syracuse 1 year, and then I got sick. My parents made me come home, so I ended up finishing at Fredonia.
Okay.
So after my I was maybe going to consider it my sophomore year, but after my freshman year, I had to leave. So.
So unbeknownst to him, he actually walks into a sorority house.
See, now this is the scene you wish this was an R-rated one.
Yeah. Well, no, you do see a little something, but not much. Yeah. Hello, hello.
I love the gall on him too. He just like walks into a shower, like regardless. Oh, him. Wow, that's not for a PG-13.
I didn't see a thing, honey. You're perfect.
He's got the cops in his pocket, though.
Yeah, he's like, just call it a mistake.
He's got a stack of hundreds.
I don't have any kids. Here, make some kids.
The best thing about kids is making them.
There we go. And here's Jason I'm trying to remember. Derek is a roommate with blue hair. God, I still can't believe that's Iron Man.
an unbelievable career path. I mean, he was at one point bottomed out, breaking into his neighbor's house by accident or whatever happened to him. Huge drug addict, and he just somehow cleaned it all up, went to the top.
Yeah, I mean, he almost didn't get Iron Man because the insurance was too high.
Right, because that was kind of the start of his resurgence was Iron Man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never seen Iron Man, but I hear it's all right.
Oh, yeah, you got to start, man.
I've seen very few superhero movies. Mm-hmm. I'm not against them, but then they just started coming in such rapid pace that I just kind of dropped out. Like, I loved the first two Batmans, mm-hmm. and I also didn't even... I kind of liked the... what's his name? Spider-Man with the kid from... with the eyes. What's his name? Tobey Maguire,
yeah, those were good. Except for Spider-Man 3, but... yeah. So here's a... Thornton Mellon and his finally finds his son's
Pretenders poster in the background there. What else has he got back there?
Yeah, he finds out his son's been lying to him.
They said you were a towel. Oh boy.
Hey Jason, you don't lie to me. You lie to girls. Derek Lutz.
Derek.
This dad, and that's Lou. I think you're trying to get back at your parents. Everybody has a weird roommate at some point in their life. Nice campus, though.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Do we know what college this is? This was filmed at?
Well, it says Great Lakes, but...
I'm going to look on the trivia on IMDb. Maybe they'll mention where it was.
It does. I'll let you give the info.
Let's see. Sixth highest grossing film of 86. That's better than I thought, actually, for some reason.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that big of a hit.
Well, PG-13 comedy, you know, you have a wider audience than ours.
Exactly. So. Yeah, and that's why they love them so much. Mm-hmm. Spot of trivia for this movie, so I'm trying. Mm-hmm. University of Wisconsin-Madison. Mm-hmm. Some classroom scenes were California State University at Los Angeles.
Yeah. So they probably did the, shot like, a couple weeks of exteriors in Wisconsin and then did the rest of the stuff back in L.A.
And I think they did the right thing to get like a nice fall foliage. It's like, it looks really great. It looks like you picture college when you close your eyes, like the quad and the... Mm-hmm.
Everybody walking around with backpacks and sitting on the lawn.
The, like, romantic part of it, like, not thinking about all the debt you're accumulating, but instead the the romance of college and being young and in the leaves, frolicking in the fall.
And now he says, all right, you know what? I'll go to college, too. I never went there.
And Jason's all in at first.
Yeah.
Right? Totally on board with this. It doesn't necessarily last all movie.
I love Ned Beatty here as like the kind of the pompous dean a little bit. Mr. Mellon. And he called him Dean Martin.
That's hilarious.
It's so funny that anybody under the age of like 35 probably doesn't understand that joke.
Right. They're Googling right now. why are these idiots laughing at that? This guy's like cha-ching, though, you know what I mean? Like, he knows he's going to work a building or two out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are handpicked by me, by the creme de la creme of our students. We got another superhero connection. He was, Otis in the original Superman movies. Basically, Lex Luthor's lackey.
Wow. Mm-hmm. My brother went to Yale with the son of Superman.
Ah.
Good friend. He's good friends with him. And I think he was recently caught on like Good Morning America without pants. And I texted my brother and he like texted me back a screenshot of like him and all his college buddies like already busting the kids' balls about accidentally being on TV without pants, like a Zoom shot or whatever.
Yep, and you were right. Gets a building, the Mellon School of Business.
Yeah.
He's just like, dude, I just want to go here with my son.
Yeah.
Just get to it. Our most generous benefactor, Thornton Mellon.
here's the foil.
Philip. Dr. Barbet, I think, is his name. the name of the actor, Paxton Whitehead. A great speech. Oh, it's kind of like the Ted Knight character split in two here. You have like the funny pompousy part with Ned Beatty, and then you have the foil with Dr. Barbet.
Great explanation. Also is in Baby Boom.
Huh? Probably one of those guys that always played a prick.
Yeah, he looks like a prick. He's got that face.
Yeah, he's got that look on his face like he just smelled bad cheese.
Good description. I like
it. Well, Phil, it was a really big check. Yeah. Listen, Sherlock, while you were here, I was in the real world.
Yep. Hard work. Elbow grease.
Self-made.
Where did you go to college, Andy?
I started at the University of Hartford, and then I transferred to Iona.
Okay. Oh, yeah, so, you told me Iona.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I grew up near Iona, so I lived at home those 2.5 years. My daughter is actually going to the University of Hartford this fall.
Nice.
So, she's a different kid from me, so she'll probably hopefully have a... Not that I had a bad experience there, just, you know, wasn't... I think I wasn't mature enough at the time. I was too interested in other things than my schoolwork.
I understand.
So to speak.
We've all been there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, now the battle lines have started to be drawn between him and Barbet. You know that they're going to be thorns on each other's side.
Yep.
We didn't do this, though, this whole school registering. I love this. This is worse than a track. You ever go to the track?
Yes, I have. Yeah, my grandfather used to take me all the time when I was a kid. And I would, you know, win every race, but fake. And my grandpa would be like, you got to tell me that. But I was always cheating in my head, but I played off like I picked number three before to impress my grandpa, you know.
Yeah, my father was always into the horses, so I would go to the track often.
Do you go to Belmont ever?
I've been to Belmont, but yeah, no, we would go to Yonkers a lot, and then my parents are into the Trotters and Pacers, not the Thoroughbreds. So, Goshen, New York, if you ever in that area, they're building a Legoland up there. Hopefully all this COVID's over, but in Goshen, New York, is the oldest racetrack in America for horse racing, and it is the home of the Harness Racing Hall of Fame and Museum, as well.
Oh, nice.
So if you're ever in that part of upstate New York, you know, hit it up.
What about Saratoga? You ever been there?
No, I've never been there, but my parents have. Saratoga, Syracuse, they go everywhere with the horses. Back, well, before, but not as much now. But
I have a pretty cool Saratoga story. So in 2000, I'm a big Pearl Jam guy. I've been to like 83 Pearl Jam concerts. And in 2000, I went on this run where I went to 3 at Jones Beach, and then they played Saratoga. It's called Spock, the venue there. And this was back when you would, like, book a room, like, on the phone. You know, you, like, call, like, 1-800 Howard Johnson or whoever I called. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to be able to be within 10 minutes of the venue. And they assured me they were, whatever. We get to the hotel, and they're nowhere near where they said. So I got on the phone, and I'm like, I called, you promised, you know, you screwed up. So they're like, all right, we'll take care of it. You know, we'll get you a room within the range that we promised you. Well, it's the big weekend for horse racing in Saratoga. Oh. So they can't find anything. The only room they can find is like a $400 a night suite at this like ritzy bed and breakfast right near the track. And they got us a room there. We paid like $30 a night for it. It was the nicest hotel room I've ever been to in my life, still to this point. It was amazing. That's my like one time in Saratoga.
Nice. And a little run in here with Chaz.
Yeah. And so Chaz is going to be Jason's foil. Yeah. And Professor.
Yep. Derek basically told him off, though, you elitist fraternity scumbag. And all of a sudden, everybody runs out. This is ingenious.
Yeah.
You have a limo, you put a sign of a rock star out there, and all the kids flock.
Yeah, the boss. You ever see the boss?
No. I'm not a big concert guy. I've only been to like maybe 10 or 12 in my life, if that. Hey, let's register. Yeah, another part of college is going to the bookstore.
Yep. That's the worst. I never would even use them most of the time, too. I've probably bought 10, 12 books in my career that I never even opened.
Yeah, I learned my lesson after my first semester. You wait till you get the syllabus to buy the books.
Yep. It's always nice returning them, though. Yeah. You know, at the end of the semester, they give you a little cash for them. You know, like a rich, you know, you get 150, 175 bucks in your pocket. You feel like the richest kid on campus.
Hey, Shakespeare for everybody here, I tell you.
Hey, I never had this, never got this lucky.
Yeah, like the Tim, you're true.
Yeah, there's this girl.
Mm-hmm. That sexy D voice of hers, Sally Killerman.
Yeah.
She used to do a lot of voiceovers for commercials.
So all things being equal, would you rather have his girl or Jason's girl?
Oh, Jason's girl.
Yeah, yeah, she is hotter.
I mean, Sally Kellerman in her day was pretty hot, but this the actress who plays Mallory Desmond, oof.
Just, yeah, she's a beaut.
She is. She's very hot. I never even knew her name. Her name was Terry Farrell. Mm-hmm.
Never heard of her.
Mm-hmm. She does. She still acts as well, but she was on Becker. I don't know why I said Becca. She was on Deep Space Nine. And
you know what I'm checking. Hold on.
I guess where we get to see Mallory's Desmonds.
Yeah.
Look at that some dorm room there.
Oh, we do not have any. That's a bummer. Although yes. She does have some unbelievable see-through bathing suit shots that are pretty much close enough, though.
There you go.
Yeah, she is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Wow.
We got class 11. I got a massage at 11.
This room is amazing, by the way. Imagine them doing this to your dorm room.
Yeah, I don't even think three dorm rooms would be this big. These classes are real inconvenience. Oh, here we go. Now
this is probably in LA, right?
Yeah, Dr. Bombay is probably like, oh, now he's a Meyer World bitch. Thornton's just like seeing through all of his business theory bullshit.
Yep.
I actually started off as a business major. I didn't like it. I was a marketing major and I switched over to mass communications.
Yeah, I was a communication major, English minor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got an English minor as well.
And then I got my teaching certificate and afterwards.
Nice. What do you teach?
English.
Ah.
I used to, a different life ago.
Yeah. Did you teach writing or lit?
Middle school, so it was pretty much both.
Yeah, pretty much both, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love to write. Let's call them widgets.
What's a widget?
It's a fictional product. It does not matter.
Isn't that a thing now? Isn't that what they call the little apps on an iPhone in the front? What are those called?
Yeah,
those
called widgets? Widgets became part of the vernacular for different reasons.
Yeah.
It's like a widget, I think, is an add-on, actually, to like a program or something. I think that's what that's for. Like, you have an add-on for, like, Word or Excel or something. And he's basically telling them how in the real world, and it's like this is like what you shouldn't do.
Yep. Yeah, if you have your iPhone and you're looking at the lock screen and you swipe left, those things are widgets.
Ah, there you go.
You know, those little versions of the app. I think that's what they call them. Yeah, widgets. There's 9 new widgets available.
There you go.
Not a big widget guy.
Learn something new every day. Oh, look at that. Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. Look at all these widgets.
Kids in the class look a little old, some of them.
Well, I mean,
these extras are a bit old, I feel like.
I don't know. College people looked older. Like, I never, like, you know, because that's, you know, I went to Catholic school, so I never had class with somebody like a mustache and a beard, so everybody looks older instantly because of facial hair.
I went to Catholic school until 8th grade, and then I went to Buffalo Public High School.
No, I went to a Catholic all-boys
high school. Oh, yeah, my brother went to Catholic high school all the way through because he played prop hockey there, so he stayed all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said he went to Yale.
Yeah, he played hockey at Yale. He got in through the Zamboni door. We always tease him.
My girlfriend went to Yale. She actually got her master's there, and she reminds me of that all the time.
Yeah.
I went to Yale. I mean, no, she's really, really smart, though, so.
He's not.
Where are we going to build this factory? How about Fantasyland? Those who do flunk you. Flunk me. Yeah. Flunk him.
I feel like every once in a while we should read a Rodney joke. Just mix them in here. Yeah. Here's one. One time I went to a hotel. I asked the bellhop to handle my bag. He felt up my wife.
Oh.
Oh, this is a classic scene. So I got to tell you a little bit about Kinison here. Mm-hmm. So I'm a huge Howard Stern guy, but much like wrestling, I don't really listen to current Howard Stern. I listen to, thanks to the internet, I have hours and hours and hours of old things. And Kinison and Stern were really close. And he would have Kinison on all the time. And Kinison walked off a movie and basically blacklisted himself in Hollywood. And this Rodney giving him this scene was huge for him. He talked about it on Stern one time, about getting back into the good graces of Hollywood, who had basically left him for dead because he signed on for a movie and walked off and left him holding the bag. This is like a huge moment for Kinison to get back and to do this. And Rodney was a big reason he got this opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. They were good friends, actually. Yeah. This girl gives this like answer. Is she right?
He's amazing in this scene. Like, he's perfect for this role and he does it so good.
I was up to my knees in rice patties, slugging it out. Oh God. I had a boss. One of my first jobs in television. He was the VP of production at Outdoor Life Network, and he was kind of had the same body type, and he made us come to these meetings like weekly. He called them like his like production seminars, and he would like ask questions, and all of a sudden he would go, "Is she right?" Like in my head the whole time I'm thinking this scene. Well, I like to think so. I was out there producing in the field while you guys are sitting here in your sweet edit rooms.
The other Mr. Stern
helper.
The other Stern connection here is that Jackie Martling was a joke writer for Dangerfield for a while.
Ah.
And that was one of Jackie's first breaks, is writing jokes for Dangerfield. But then they had a falling out because Jackie kept trying to borrow money from him. Oh, my God. Kinison is just so good in this scene.
Say it. Say it. Good answer.
Good answer.
Good answer.
It's not his good side now.
It was so tragic when he died, too, in that car accident.
I know. He had cleaned himself out, and he gets hit by a drunk driver.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. And there's that witness testimony that, you know, he was standing there on the outside of the car and, like, essentially talking to someone, saying, like, "Oh, no, now... why?" And then he passed away, you know.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Maybe he was seeing the light or whatever, you know, whatever was going on in his head. Or maybe he is proof that there's an afterlife, but he definitely felt like he was going there at that moment.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's really sad.
I know you. You do those obnoxious commercials. You're tall and fat. Hey, well, you're short and ugly. Give my pin back. God, I remember having hottie professors. Love that.
How bad were classes like this, though, where there's just, like, an obnoxious book list and boring reading? Like, I know as an English minor, you probably had these classes where it was, like, six novels you got to buy at the friggin' bookstore. And
I got so sick of reading Oedipus Rex and the Iliad. And I'm like, do we have to read this in every fucking class?
Yeah, I don't think I've read a single piece of fiction since college. It just, like, burned me on fiction. I strictly read nonfiction now. I can't deal with, like, a boring novel ever again, I don't think.
The last thing I read was Harry Potter, probably. Or actually, no, I think I was reading Kingdom Keepers. Those are all fantasy novels. But
I've never read Harry Potter, but the author's my hero now. I just love... I don't even know what people are mad at her about. It's not even that. I just love that she stands up to the mob.
There you go.
I just love that about her. She's got that FU money, which is so important in 2020. What a woman.
I know, I like teachers. do something wrong and make you do it over again. I gave all my pens away.
Calendar.
I mean, I don't know why this kid's upset. He should have had a pen walking into that place anyway, into the class.
Yeah, and what a campus this was, by the way. Huh? Yeah. Madison, Wisconsin Madison, what a campus. Mm-hmm. Great D3 hockey program there, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Or actually, Madison, isn't that the main one? That's a D1 school, right? What did we say it was? Madison?
Yeah, it is.
That's the main campus, I think, Madison.
Mm-hmm. University of Wisconsin, Madison, yeah.
Yeah, because that's Wisconsin, the state schools have all the, there's like Stevens Point, and then there, Wisconsin, Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and this, Wisconsin, that. They have like 100 of them.
Why don't you call me when you have no class? He's just like, he's ready to play golf. Ever seen?
Oh, this guy, Philip. No chance Philip is any good in bed. There's no way.
Probably no.
She's too academic about it.
She probably doesn't even. Probably, like, you know, has to have his socks on and stuff.
Yeah. She looks like she wants to have, like, tantric sex with Sting or something. Like, she reminds me of that kind of. But she ain't getting it from Philip. That's why he's got a chance at all, Thornton. Because this guy's a dud.
Yeah, he's such a stiff.
Yep. He's created an opening.
A merger, a partnership, seriously, Dion. It's a nice car he's got, though.
Yeah, it's fancy.
It's kind of like the car that the asshole teacher in, what was it, School Ties has? That Brendan Fraser movie?
Yeah. Seen that. The face man gets a car like this in season 4 of the A-Team, and it gets shot up, so he returns. It had a loud clock.
I think I have that car, actually. I have a collection. I kind of miss it because it's in my office, which I haven't been to since March. But right. I have a collection on my desk of cars from like Matchbox cars, but they're all from TV and movies.
That's sweet. Yeah, look at him. He's walking around in his robe now. So you got like the A-Team van over there, and
yeah, A-Team van. I got a lot of James Bond cars. I got like 4 DeLoreans, you know, the Scooby Doo van, Jetsons. Old school.
Very cool.
Yeah, there's some stuff like stuff from Lost. I mean, yeah, I was Toys R Us going out of business really hurt that my collecting of that stuff because that's was the source of that stuff.
My daughter and I discovered a 80s toy store here in Buffalo, and we love it. The guy's a really cool guy. We go in there; it's a mix of like old school 80s toys and also like collectible toys of things from the 80s that, you know, like 50 year Scooby-Doo toys or something. My daughter got a Scooby-Doo mystery machine or whatever last time we were there.
Nice.
It's really cool. It's a really nice store. It's really fun.
Now we got Thornton giving them some diving lessons.
Yep.
I actually did some diving in high school, not a lot.
Yeah, I've never gotten that high on a diving board in my life.
I never did platform. I did springboard.
Springboard, yeah. I've done that like at my neighbor's pool, but that's about it.
The most I could do, I think I was able to do it 1.5 or 2.5. I couldn't remember which one I was able to do. I don't want to say 2.5 and think it was all that, but I.
When you grow up as a hockey player, that's all you can do. It's so time consuming. So.
Yeah. Well, I was on the swim team in high school, so they had us doing some diving too.
Yeah, I just played hockey, and I played 3 years. High school hockey. Nice. But you also play like your travel team too, so you're on like 2 teams plus, you know, school and anything else. So hockey players don't get to do much else.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's a commitment like anything else, you know.
And I was I wasn't even like as good, like my brother, like he was at another level than me, and he really had no time to do anything else. Coach loves Thornton.
Yeah, because he, you know, grew up in Jersey, and there was a guy who did the most amazing dive called the Triple Lindy, which is physically impossible. Right. It breaks, like, laws of physics, basically, when we see it in person later on in the movie. I don't talk about dives.
Might be a good ranking is the sports-specific things, like the Triple Deke and Mighty Ducks, the Triple Lindy here. shows a bunch of them in movies, like different sports moves or, you know, things from sports movies. It's probably something in Major League, like maybe like his fastball that have a name. I don't know. I can't think of one.
He names them in the second one.
That's right.
And that's so full of himself, the Terminator and all that stuff. And Porkman's like, I got a name for it. The Masturbator.
That's right.
Derek with his anti... Oops. Or anti-pep rally.
What a weirdo. One of the biggest movie stars in the world. Who would have thought it?
I mean, between this and Weird Science, which both came out within a few years of each other. He plays kind of a dick in Weird Science.
I like Weird Science, too. I thought about putting that on my list.
Oh, yeah, that's an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Now, it features another Oingo Boingo song, in the library. I'd like to have some study dates with that one.
Hell, yeah.
Like, what? What's the ORT system? I actually know what that is because of where I work. We had a show on History Channel called The Planets, I think. Yeah.
What's like the most popular show you've ever worked on?
I mean, there's lots of shows. I mean, Live PD.
Rest in peace. Yes. Live PD.
Yes.
Deserves better.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not... People who make decisions make a lot more money than I do, so I just leave it at that.
You got to feel like with something like that, and I don't want to talk about... I don't want to put you in a position... Yeah. We'll take it away from live TV. Just in general, things that come up against opposition like that, seems like if you can just wait it out, it goes away. You know what I mean? Like, but sometimes in corporate America, corporations can't wait it out. Whatever, it's a TV show, you know, a commercial... it is that comes in the line of fire, if you can just get past that first day or two, you know.
But. Yeah, I mean, you'd be amazed on the things that happen and then that affects television, actually, and like what you would like people to see or advertisers. You know, if there's a natural disaster, you start combing through like, oh, why are we airing anything with this? And it's not just, you know, current climates that affect you. It's even just an act of nature.
Sure. You know,
if there's a tsunami, it's like, oh, we got to make sure we don't want to be appear insensitive to the viewers.
Right,
what it is. And you know,
well, it's like after 9/11, where there's like 100 songs taken off the radio because they said the word bomb. Or
I was working for MTV Networks, and I had to flag any time I saw the Twin Towers and anything.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So I still get a chill every time I see him in something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they come up all the time. I see him in, like, I saw that Simpsons episode recently where he doesn't want to drink Mountain Dew, so he drinks the crab juice or whatever it was.
I mean, I just watched Armageddon and Deep Impact, and you could see them both in those movies.
Yeah.
But, so we're here at the bar, you know, Thornton Mellon should be studying, but he's out having a good time, and here's, Jason finally getting up the courage to talk to a woman. Well, the girl that, not a woman, but the girl he has a crush on.
Nice looking 80s, female 80s punk bands, like the, could be like the Bengals or something like that, right?
It's funny, too, this is the second movie, I believe, in 1986 to feature Twist and Shout. You know what the other one was?
I do not.
Oh, come on. It's an iconic scene. And it's actually,
I'm sure as soon as you say it, I'll know it, but I can't think. It's hard for me when I'm watching this on a different scene.
It's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, of course.
Both movies, though, came out in the same year. I remember thinking, like, why is this song in both movies?
Yeah.
Because I was not as bright then. Not much brighter, but now. Yeah, these singers in this band are very, very 80s.
Very much, yeah.
I mean, they got the Aquanet going pretty big time.
They kind of look like the News. The background band looks like, you know, Hugh Lewis. And these girls look like, you know, Linda Ronstadt or something and her friends.
80s club rats.
This looks like a great place to hang out, though. I love it. No rap music or dance music. You get Some nice live rock.
I don't know if the drinking age was still 18 then, because these guys are freshmen.
Right, yeah, probably right around this time, or maybe the tail end of when it switched over. I'll Google see when it switched from 18 to 21.
So I think my sister was born in 68, and she, I think they changed it. It wasn't changed in every state for a while. I remember she went to Hawaii for like a class trip, like a senior trip or something, and she was like, I could drink out there because it was, you know.
So I have the year for each state.
Ah, so what's the drinking age in Wisconsin, 1986?
Wisconsin is in the W section. September 1st, 86, it switched. So they're probably grandfathered in, right?
Yeah.
Does that work like that?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the guys that got paint on them are found not dark.
Yeah. New York was 85.
Yeah, New York was one of the first ones. I remember that.
Here in Connecticut, also 85. Wow, a lot of these are September 1st. That's my birthday.
What about Hawaii? Oh, yeah. Mine's September 15th.
Hawaii was October 1st, 1986.
Okay. So it's slightly later.
Colorado looks like it might be the latest. Colorado, Louisiana.
Well, Colorado's the first one to legalize weed, so there you go.
Montana, Ohio.
Got a problem?
Wyoming, excuse me. July 1st, 88. this is pretty interesting to me for no apparent reason. Huge brawl here. Huge brawl. Jason not feeling it.
Basically Lou versus the whole team.
Yep.
Derek getting tossed around.
This totally reminds me of like an A-team episode. Like I swear this scene is in like 35 different A-teams.
Yeah.
Look at Lou. The badass.
Just got a guy who's going to do the old Kevin Nash Rey Mysterio here.
Yep. Oh, right through that.
Like a javelin.
That jukebox is a Wurlitzer jukebox. Mm-hmm. Wurlitzer drive is about half a mile from where I'm sitting right here in North Tonawanda, New York.
Nice.
The Wurlitzer building is right by my house.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess.
My friend used to live near the Wiffle Ball factory, so.
Very nice. Yeah, I live in a northern suburb of Buffalo that's technically a city, but it's a suburb, really, of Buffalo. And they're known for the Wurlitzer jukeboxes.
Nice. I worked at a club. There used to be a club, I think, in New Jersey called Wurlitzers, they called it. And the club I ended up working for when I was DJing called Boppers was based on that place. It was like, you know, basically playing music from like the 50s to the 90s. And doing like lip syncs and dances on the stage all night.
There isn't much that would get me more excited than like going out to dinner with my parents and the place has a jukebox and like my dad giving me like a dollar or two and me and my brother is going to pick out songs in the jukebox. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel bad for kids that they're not going to get that. I know they have those touchscreen ones, I guess, but those are more in bars. Remember, like, you'd just go to, like, a pizza parlor or something and they'd have one or...
Oh, the diners would have them at your booth.
Yeah, the diners, yeah. Yeah, Tony Soprano. Do you remember what the B-side of Don't Stop Believin' was in the final episode of The Sopranos?
Oh, God.
It's a real important kind of Easter egg to the plot, too. David Chase specifically picked this song to be the B-side.
Oh, God, I'm trying to think. Was it Faithfully?
You want it.
Any way you want it. Yeah, I was trying to think of, like, so the Journey or...
Sopranos cuts to black and everyone wants to know what happens, and David Chase is saying, any way you want it. You want to believe he died? Go ahead. Do you want to believe he lived? You can do that too.
Yeah, I gotta go rewatch that series.
Oh, it's a king. Number one.
I think we have I know they're on, it's on HBO Max and all that, but I think we had all the seasons on DVD for a while.
I've probably watched it through at least 10 times at this point.
Wow. I didn't start watching till Ralphie. Then I went back and caught up.
Yeah, Ralphie comes in season 3.
Yeah, that's when I started watching.
Yeah.
And she's trying to, you know Thornton's with Diane having a little study session here.
Is that a future tournament TV shows or?
Yeah, that's in the works.
That's on the short list.
Yep, that is on the short list. We did sitcoms, so eventually we're going to do dramas.
Do the hour-long dramas.
Mm-hmm.
What won the sitcom on that? I don't know.
That was The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I remember.
Not angry about that. I kind of
That's fine.
You know, there were some, the whole King of the Hill thing kind of annoyed us. But, you know, it happens.
Yeah, I've always been on the other side, I think, of you on that.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like the point, well, I would think that the idea is to get more and more people involved and to, like, I would think you'd want the word to spread, even if it only spreads for that one time. I don't know. During the music one, maybe the 80s music one, whatever, mm-hmm. one of the matchups was Sweet Child O' Mine versus a Michael Jackson song. It was really late in the tournament. And I had a long time ago joined the Guns N' Roses Reddit because Duff McKagan was on my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I do not want to see Guns N' Roses lose to this freak Michael Jackson. So I posted, hey, Guns N' Roses is in a battle here, you know, like, give him a vote. I still know people from that Reddit who vote on your things to this day. Like, it, I don't know.
That's awesome.
I feel like
there's two sides of the coin. I mean, you know, it was kind of weird. I'm like, the president of the South African Guns N' Roses fan club is sharing the tournament.
Yeah. I was a big reason for that. But I was honest about it. Like, I told Justin, like, hey, I just made a post in Reddit and said Guns N' Roses is in a battle here.
Well, so, look, Sweet Child of Mine is a great song, and there's nothing to be upset about if that won the tournament. Really, if you look at the list of 512 songs we had, Sweet Child of Mine probably would be one.
And it did win, right?
It did. Before the tournament even started, you could have said, yeah, that's easily one of the songs in the top 20 that could legit win the tournament.
Sure.
You know, I think it's more about, you know, you don't want them to be drive-bys or people that just ballot stuff because, you know, there is a loyal fan base to the tournaments and there is work that goes into it. It's great to attract new people and hopefully they stay and they participate in other things. But if you're, you know, I mean, the King of the Hill thing, that was just ridiculously astronomical.
I don't remember the details of that, but there's a guy named...
It was bad.
Yeah, there's a guy named Joe Maniello, and he writes the back page headlines for New York Newsday. Mm-hmm. And he was just on my podcast recently. And during quarantine, he has been doing brackets.
Mm-hmm.
He got real big into it, like 64 team brackets. He's done a Billy Joel one. Nice. He's done a Beatles songs one. Right now, they're working up to 64 episodes of Seinfeld. Seinfeld episode is going to be the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that happened to him is Keith Olbermann started to pick up on the Beatles one.
Mm-hmm.
And during the final, it was Let It Be versus another song that's just like Let It Be. Jesus, I can't
Hey Jude.
Hey Jude. Exactly. It was those two were in the final, and one of them was ahead, and Keith Olbermann quote tweeted it and said, this song sucks, vote for this one. And the other one ended up, it flipped right away, and the other one won it based on Olbermann's bullying. So, but I think that's a cool thing for him.
Yeah, like, that's a cool thing. Like, but if you look at King of the Hill beating Friends, like not just beating it by like a few votes or 20 votes, it was like hundreds of votes. Like,
right.
Compared to the other ones. Yeah, that's kind of what it is. Like, you know, we don't want to skew for the people that are actually enjoying the tournament as a whole.
Sure.
You know, that don't really care who wins.
They stay around. Don't you think?
Yeah, hopefully.
I don't know. Tough call. Tough call.
Yeah, it is.
I see both sides.
Yeah. Which is really kind of the point, is the discussion part of it.
I'm glad that you're the one who has to make the call, not me.
Well, no, it's stated on the tournament page now on kind of what our ground rules are. You know, we're not doing it for personal reasons. You know, that's what it is. It's we want to see a fair and fun tournament all the time.
Right. And I guess my counter is just that it is part of the fun, mm-hmm. is trying to rally support on the internet for your passion, whatever that. That's one reason why I didn't care for the snacks one, is I just don't have much passion for like Cool Ranch Doritos or whatever, you know, like. But like in that case, that Guns N' Roses song, I did not want it to lose to Michael Jackson, that freak, without me at least trying to do something. And I did, you know, just a small thing. I just shared it in the world of Guns N' Roses, and you know, let it go from there. And like I said, I know there's people to this day from that Raddit who still vote in the tournaments.
All right. Well, I hope so. Here's Kurt Vonnegut. I'm looking for Thornton. Yeah, we should get back to the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's stop breaking kayfabe. It's funny. I listen to the Place to Be podcast. I'm like, who's worse at breaking kayfabe? Me or Steve?
I got in trouble last time. I mentioned
you usually do.
The Giants Super Bowl or something like that. Oh, man. Heavy research here. They're working on the COVID vaccine. I sold you pants.
Of course. Good to see you. He's doing a lab project. He's got to sit here with these monkeys. They're trying to teach apes how to read and write. You want to teach them how to go to the bathroom first.
The apes are like, oh, no. Yeah, oh, I gotta get another wrapping line out for us. Let me see.
Look at those VHSs. Jesus.
Those are amazing. Did you have a Betamax?
No, I did not.
I remember one of my neighbors had Betamax, and I was like envious of them. And then it lost the battle, and I was so glad we were a team VHS.
Yeah, I had one friend that had a Betamax.
My uncle's dying wish was to have me sitting on his lap. He was in the electric chair.
I said to my son, you're young, you don't have it upstairs. He says to me, I'm old, I don't have it downstairs. I'll tell you.
A girl phoned me and said, come on over, there's nobody home. I went over, nobody was home. He's the best. Awesome. Wrestling. Is that Georgie Animal Steel?
I don't know who that is.
I think Georgie Animal Steel just took a header.
Oh, that was the Samoans in there?
It looked like it.
Yeah, we're taking a break. Have some pizza. I love this scene. God.
Yeah, this is a classic.
Lay of that, yo.
Kids falling asleep.
Oh, who didn't fall asleep in class? And they hear a stenographer typing.
Amazing.
And there it is. The great character actress from the 80s, Edie
McClure. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Well, Jason can't stop laughing. Oh, I'm Mr. Mellon's. I'm Marge Sweetwater. Mr. Thornton Mellon's private secretary. I'm taking notes. Again, she is also another connection to Ferris Bueller. She was in both movies.
Yep, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I'm trying to think what else.
Oh, she was Mrs. Poole on the Hogan Family.
Mm. She's still alive, too, huh?
Yeah.
I get so depressed, like, when I'm messing around with IMDb, like, watching a movie like this, and so many people are dead.
Oh, yeah. I was watching, I had a long day at work, and I was like, I just want to laugh. I threw in Cannonball Run. I'm like, I was laughing, but I'm like, this is so depressing. Like, almost all of them are dead.
Yeah. I know. Today's Chris Cornell's birthday. Rest in peace to Chris Cornell, who... I had that thought earlier today. Just so sad that he's not with us anymore. But.
Yeah. You will never, ever pass my court. I'm sure he
was in a million, and still is in a million things. Like, talk about someone who worked. This is quite the impressive resume.
He's got his whole company basically writing his papers.
Yeah.
It's too light. Feels like a C. Gee, if that's a C, I hate to see what an A looks like.
No kidding.
That is a big-ass paper.
Now, Jason is starting to not dig it quite as much.
Well, Thornton's kind of like going against his own his own advice. I'm doing my homework. So I just know, before when I'm watching the Sam Kinison scene, I'm like, what? Why is that girl wearing a Hooters sweatshirt? And I realize that's the school mascot.
The Hooters.
The Great Lake, Great Fall, whatever the hell it is, school Hooters.
Yeah.
Wow.
Owls. They mean owls.
Yes, I know. It's like the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Right.
I remember a lot of people walked around with the Cocks hat.
If this is 2020, the Hooters would need to be changed. There would be a campaign to switch the Hooters to something else. Oh, the Wildcats. Boo. Here come the Hooters.
Grand Lake University Hooters.
See, Jason's
still a little piff.
He loves his dad, though. Yeah, it's like,
he's just a little mad at him.
Yeah, he's mad, but he, you know, this girl's here. He's gonna show her.
There you go.
Hey, Valerie.
What's going on? How you doing?
Johnny Lawrence, you know, had her, right? Mm-hmm. Since Spidey has her, right? And then he also had Allie with an eye.
That's right.
He had some great, great chicks in his day in these movies. Good for Johnny Lawrence.
I mean, you know, just one of the guys, too. Another very under-the-radar 80s teen comedy.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that can't be streaming anywhere. Just got to check on that. That's a tremendous movie.
If you ever have me back, we got to do Opportunity Knocks. Just because
that is a fun movie.
And I think like I'm the only person who likes it. But I feel like we could bring people to it somehow.
Oh, dude.
Now, devastating news here for him. He just got told his dad paid his way onto the team.
Well, yeah, it's full of shit, Chaz. But yeah, I'm a huge Dana Carvey mark, so I was all over Opportunity Knocks.
That was such a good movie. Same way, and I love that movie. I have so much fun. I just got the Blu-ray recently.
There you go.
Yeah. I was telling someone, Adnan Verk, he loves movies. I'm like, you gotta watch that movie.
Yeah, that's another one that's under the radar.
It is. You know, I told him, I think that at the time, people were kind of worn out a little bit on Carvey. By the time he got to movies, he had maybe played out some of his characters a bit.
Yeah.
But in retrospect now, since you don't have that burnout effect, you get to just really appreciate that movie and how great he is in it. And just the love and the love con, just the whole thing. I really love that movie.
Yeah, that could have been his Ace Ventura or Billy Madison, like what they did for Dana Carvey and Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler.
Right.
You know?
Beautiful dive by Johnny Lawrence there. See, now Chaz had planted the seed. Now he sees him talking to the coach and he gets rattled. He's in his head.
Yeah, especially, you know.
No balance. Lost focus.
When you're doing something as a, you know, as you need so much focus as diving. Yeah. The inward dive, that's always scared the shit out of me to do. I was always afraid I was going to hit my head. Oof.
Ooh, not that's good. Even I know that.
Jackknives into the water.
Even Terry knows that was terrible.
Well, I mean, she's dating another guy on this dive team. She knows.
Right.
Oh, she's...
Look at Johnny's outfit.
Look at that.
Skeleton in Cobra Kai, or in Karate Kid. And he's Flintstone in
trying to read the Greek letters on the mantle. I think it's Phi Delta Psi. I was in a frat. So I had to learn that thing backwards and forwards. Melons? Are you nuts?
Did you get that picture I sent you of Valerie?
No. I got
it. I sent it to your, what do you call it? Messenger.
Jeez. Oh, good God. Oof.
Beautiful, right?
Yeah. I got a whole new respect for her.
Right?
So here's Oingo Boingo playing Dead Man's Party.
This is the one that's in the tournament?
This is in the tournament.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a great part about the 80s, which I feel like the tournament is kind of bringing that point to the forefront. It's just how intertwined pop music and movies were, you know, and how every great movie had a great song and the videos, you know, MTV using the scenes in the videos and just a great missing part of our culture. I really appreciated when it was here. I miss it now that it's gone.
And here's Derek with his weird... different hairstyle all of a sudden.
Yep.
Jason, you know,
Jason up.
Wearing sunglasses at night, getting drunk. Yeah. It's Thornton in his matching pajamas and robe here. Yeah, speaking of 80s songs from movies, like, I am really pulling for the Goonies are good enough. I want to see them make a nice run.
Yeah, I'm really pulling for, for Back to the Future, Huey Lewis in the News. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that make a run.
Yeah, Jason just basically being a douche here.
He's turning heel.
He's turning heel, yeah, he's pissed off and drunk. It's a party, Philip. Remember, midterms, they're just blowing off steam. This random joke. It's Millie, man! He's throwing the greatest party of all time! The whole world is there. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me in my whole life! And he throws up on his car.
Imagine two of your professors showing up to a midterm party you're having at college.
Well, there was one professor in college that I would have gotten stoned.
Uh-oh. He thinks, they're busting it. Nope, they made a beer run.
that guy that just threw up outside. That guy reminds me of Squirrel from Hot Dog the Movie. I don't know if you ever saw that film.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, that is a classic.
Yeah.
Really just raunchy, so un-PC movie.
Very, very well. Could not fly in 2020.
No, it's Shannon Tweed.
Shannon Tweed is a piece of ass herself, too. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
There you go. There's Danny Elfman, I believe.
Yeah.
It's a dead man's party.
Is You're the Best Around in the tournament?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember if it came up yet. How many songs still need to be voted on for the first time?
Oh, God.
Lots still.
Yeah, we just got into the favorite college region, which is the fifth region. So there's three more after that. The Morag, Beaumont, and Hutt Right High. Yeah, You're the Best is, I can actually find it quickly.
That's another one I'd like to see make a run. Now, look at this. This is a college dorm room. It's got a hot tub in there.
Actually, it's coming up Friday. There's Bubbles. Oh, I'd love to take a bath with Bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's You're the Best is going up against Reflection from Mulan.
Dead meat. Reflection's dead meat.
Yeah, it's going to lose.
88-12.
Hey, maybe you can help me straighten out my long fella.
Those girls are all so 80s hot. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Like, they got the big hair and everything. Bad timing here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the professor trying to, like, you know, fit in and be cool and hip.
Yeah. Where do you get a snorkel?
That's what I call marine biology. Diane.
The sea was angry that day, my friends. Say hello to my nieces. It's really funny. So really, it's just falling apart for Thornton here.
Yeah.
Son's against him. He's losing his girl, maybe.
Yeah.
Jason's going to blow it with Terry here. Or Valerie. Valerie is Terry. Terry is Valerie.
Dolores!
She's girl next door, beautiful, kind of.
Yeah.
Like in this, especially in this movie. She's got that kind of, you know, she looks obtainable to me.
Yeah.
Something really attractive about that when you're.
When you're a college kid, yeah.
Yeah. Johnny.
Oh, man. We go. I'm bored. Jason's got the
beer. Another shit face now.
What do I gotta do? Knock your teeth down your throat?
Ooh.
Look at Chaz, like he's just writhing.
Yeah, that was the strategy the kid went for in Days to Confuse, but it didn't work out. Just that you get the first punch in and hope it gets broken up. It worked out perfectly there.
No, I think Chaz is all talk. I don't think he probably ever was in a fight, Chaz. The other guy, though.
Threw that rocket, and luckily for him, the fight got broken up right away. So you got to think Johnny would have kicked his ass. He knows karate. He knows
karate. Yeah, but Nikki Cat, that character in Days Confused, he was going to kick the shit out of Evan Goldberg one way.
Oh, yeah, he was. But that I liked his strategy. He's like, look, I'm going to get one punch in, and they're going to break it up. He had it thought out well. It didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And luckily, Pink jumped in then, finally.
Pink and what's-his-face? I'm blanking on Matthew McConaughey's character.
All right. Do you think Pink played in the fall or what?
It's Texas. They got a star quarterback. Played. They're gonna do whatever they can to get him on the team.
Agreed. Think they won the States?
I think they might have.
I think they didn't. I think he's just not focused enough.
Yeah. Waterman, whatever it is. And for more Dave's Confused talk,
next time.
Check out the episode of Laughing Theater featuring Todd Weber when we watch Dave's Confused. Yeah, Todd's my music guy. I like to have him on for like banging soundtrack movies. His first one was Swingers, and he'll be back at some point. We're gonna do Singles.
That's a great one.
Mm-hmm. Tremendous.
My music too.
A lot of those songs are in tournament. Some of them aren't doing well. So I played that soundtrack a lot on my radio shows in college.
Yeah, State of Love and Trust and Breath are on there from Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. Birth Ritual by Soundgarden. Seasons by Chris Cornell. Wood by Alice in Chains.
Oh, yeah. I love Wood and those Paul Westerberg songs.
Yeah.
Waiting for Somebody, Dyslexic Heart. Dean Martin wants to see you in his office right away.
Dean Martin. I love Martin. It's amazing.
He's sitting there schmoozing. Were they drinking sherry? I'm afraid we have a little problem here, Mr. Mellon. A little unpleasant. Phil. It's a nice office he's got there, though.
It is a beauty.
Drawn
by Smash Hawkins.
You ever in the dean's office in college?
No.
I got called into the dean's office a couple of times, mainly for my fraternity brothers. But yeah, so I was the president. I was the pledge master, and then I was the president.
I sat next to the president of the school at a hockey playoff game once at Fredonia.
I was on the rail station in a newspaper, and the newspaper had a smoking lounge. So we used to go in there, and the dean comes in and goes, "Mr. Addison." I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "What do we do now?" He's like, "Come to my office." I'm like,
"Wow."
Yep, they frowned upon some of the things we made our pledges do, so we had to change some things.
Hazing went too far.
Well, it wasn't really hazing; it was just
he should have never made him eat that feces.
Who told you? He did walk in once with like 30 of us in the bathroom doing something.
Oh my!
It was a trust exercise. I'll leave it at that.
Big test coming up.
Yeah, he's even got a reserved parking spot there.
Yeah, there's Lou. Lou's going to smooth things over for his boss here.
Lou's like the Jiminy Cricket of the movie.
Lou's a beauty. Look at him. That chest hair.
It's Paulie, come on. Yeah. Like me, I'm nice and I'm tough. I got two boys. One I put through college, the other I put through a wall. Your pop loved you.
It's a good man, Lou. Smoothing it over here, you know? It's good.
Mm-hmm. Man, a few words. When he does talk, it's important.
It means something, yeah?
There you go.
Lost art. I should have learned that.
Hello.
Yeah, he's thinking about bailing. He goes to the sandwich.
He always loves making them sandwiches.
Yep. Anytime there's stress in his life, he makes a sandwich. It's like Tony Soprano in that way. Probably there's some gabagool there, maybe he's, you know, making a gabagool sandwich, a fresh mozzarella.
He's got mustard and mayo, though. I mean, is he putting that on the same sandwich? He's making multiple sandwiches. He's got a long drive.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Bulk candy. Probably some bulk candy he's going to bring with him as well. He's a Coke drinker. I'm a big Pepsi guy. My dad worked there for 38 years, so I was raised on Pepsi.
My family, growing up, preferred Pepsi, but I always preferred Coke. I drank Pepsi in the house because I had to.
But I always thought I was cool because my dad brought home like the last 30 cases of Crystal Pepsi. Like, nice. After they weren't selling it anymore, I, like, his boss said, you could take all this shit home. I was drinking Crystal Pepsi, like, 2 years after it went off the market.
Nice.
I was the only one who liked it, though, so it's not like I could, like, didn't work like Lure and Babes and, like, hey, I got the last Crystal Pepsi. You want to come over? Like, ew, no, that's gross.
Now I only really drink Coke Zero. I try to cut down my soda a lot to, like, one a day at lunch. It's funny, too, is I used to like regular Coke better than regular Pepsi, but I would drink Diet Pepsi before I drink Diet Coke.
I try to only drink Pepsi or Coke in restaurants now. Yeah. I go out to eat. I'll treat myself to a Pepsi. I study, and he's dedicated.
Yeah, he's got one book there. I love this part in the shower. He's got the raincoat on. He's got the raincoat, yeah, he's got the... Rodney. That's where Rodney stands anyway. We had a teacher in college that had Rodney Dangerfield's body and would stand like that, and the whole time I'm just in my head going, I'll tell you.
Rodney's got a great book worth reading, too, that he wrote about his life. He probably didn't write a word of it, but he just has a great story. Real abusive parents, a nasty mother he had. He got in a lot of trouble with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Left show business, came back, finally hit in his 50s.
Yeah, if you watch like any making of Caddyshack specials, you know, they talk about how that was Rodney's first film and how much he learned on that.
Right.
He's like, he said to like one of the other actors, like, I think the guy playing the Noni or the Nunzio, like, nobody's laughing. He goes, Rodney, we can't laugh. It'll ruin the take. They're like, action. You want me to do the bit? Yeah, Rodney, do the bit.
Great.
Here he is. He's got his final test here with all of his professors.
And they all look very academic. It's very. Dean's rooting for him. He wants more donations.
Like, yeah. He's the only one that stands. I love this. Turgeson. We're wasting time.
Shitbag.
He's such an asshole.
Yeah.
3 hours. If you feel any part of you, oh man, that's a lot of pressure.
That is.
What do you think? What do you think's tougher, this or Bobby Boucher's test in Waterboy?
Or Billy Madison too had that academic.
Yeah. The Catalan, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, even he could bomb the English part or whatever. That is the biggest bunch of bullshit. This is maybe difficult because of the pressure. You can't get anything wrong.
Yeah, and it's college too.
Yeah,
and you're sitting there, like in a chair in a room with all these professors. I only have one question for Mr. Madden. In 27 parts. Diane's even like, oh, what a dick. I'd like to break him in 27 parts. Nothing. Go ahead. God. Poor Ron.
You can't even have printed it out for him. He's got to try to remember all 27 parts. Jesus.
Oh, like he wants him to like remember. You couldn't give him your cue cards here. Are you kidding all this, Mr. Mellon? Yeah, it's a piece of cake.
And there's Jason. Oh, Valerie.
You ever date a girl taller than you?
Borderline. Not taller, but like, you know, about the same height or taller in heels, that kind of thing.
All right, yeah. I mostly date short girls.
Yeah, so do I. My wife is, we're like the same height, so she's always got to wear short shoes. Otherwise, she gets too tall. Yeah, flats.
My girlfriend is 5 foot, so I'm 5'10", 5'11", so.
You know what's crazy about Valerie and beautiful girls from this era is they're the same age as my mother, roughly speaking. I discovered this like about 5 years ago. I was really into Kathy Ireland. You know, she's like one of the first girl I used to spank into all the time. I had that Sports Illustrated she was on the cover of. And then like I thought of her one day and I looked her up and she has like the exact same birthday as my mother. It's like, wow. It's so, So I have younger parents. My parents were only 20 when they had me, but still, it's really weird. She's born in 63. I just saw my mom was born in 59.
Wow.
Oh, happened again. You lost Allie to Daniel's son, and now you lost Valerie to Jason. You got to start looking in the mirror. you're the constant in all these relationships, Johnny.
I love that you call him Johnny the whole time. The answer is. Rodney looked like he's having a stroke. I love this. Relax, he's under a lot of pressure here.
Yeah, take it easy. He's got his back.
Say it! Four? I love this. Right. Right. Sigh, relief. You get through this asshole, everybody else will be easy.
Yeah.
She brings us some water.
Now you got some friends in the room.
Yeah. I can't take no more. I feel like I just gave birth to an accountant. I tell you.
She's going to throw him a softball here. Help him through. You know Sam's got his back.
Yeah. Well, he's Mr. Helper.
He's taking a lot of classes, though, huh?
Yeah.
Look at all the teachers he's got. Really cramming too much into a semester. I didn't like to take more than four or five in a semester. It took more time.
Yeah, you had to take five, I think, usually. To be full time, I think you had to take four. I have 12 credits.
Yeah, and I would always take like a summer class or whatever so I could slack off one of the two semesters.
Oh, summer classes were awesome.
Yeah, they're so easy. Teacher didn't want to be there as much as you didn't. It'd be.
I did two semesters of Italian in one summer.
Ah, aspetta.
I can't remember how to speak.
I grew up in an Italian family. All I know is the swear words that my grandparents used to yell at me when I was a kid and misbehaving.
I had a friend of mine whose parents were, his father was, I think both his parents were born in Italy. One time I wouldn't say we broke into his house, but, you know, we were all hanging out. His parents were away. He had to run to the airport to go get somebody. And we told us to all wait outside, and some of the people didn't want to wait outside. It was cold. They go inside, and then, you know, one of the neighbors, I guess, told the parents. When the parents come home, you know, the bunch of us that, you know, were there, his father starts yelling at me in Italian. The only word that was in English was shotgun.
So, shotgun.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Ma, I tell you, my son, I love my son. He's so dumb.
So he passed. He did it. And now you can go and enjoy it. You know what I'm really...
Well, no, he didn't. He doesn't know he passed. He knows he passed two of the classes so far.
True. I'm really impressed with the support this diving team gets at this school.
Yeah.
You know, it's sold out every meet so far.
Mm-hmm. Oh, heckling a diver here. The little air horn.
Look at that crowd, though.
Yeah.
Cheerleaders at the diving meet. I mean, this is a different era for diving.
I tell you.
Oh, man.
Depends on the school, though, too. Now, what else, you know, you don't know what else is going on right now. I mean, when I went to Hartford, I mean, our basketball team was terrible, but we had Vin Baker at the time.
Oh.
So, yeah, I used to play WrestleFest with him in the Commons.
What a heckle this kid is.
Yeah, look
first
at that.
The air horn, now the mirror.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like soccer, like we were terrible at basketball outside of then. I mean, we were like 5 and whatever every year. But soccer, like our women's team was ranked like in the top like 8, and our men's team was in the top like 15. So those actually soccer games would get a nice crowd.
Oh, he's got his girl by his side. He can't lose now.
She's with me now.
Yeah, well, not after this dive. I'm going to show you. Strike hard, strike first. No mercy, sir.
Yeah. Chaz knew he's lost, and now he's gonna, you know, try to get as many shots as he can at the end.
I wonder if Johnny's trying to pitch a revival of this franchise to Netflix. It's like, I really want to revive my character from Back to School. Can we have
where he comes back and he's the diving coach now?
Yeah, the Great Lakes Hooters series on Netflix.
I'm sure Netflix executives are listening.
Yep, I just jump all over that.
Look at that shitty dive.
Shitty. Yeah. That's not going to win Valerie back. He didn't focus. You can tell this dive game is all about focus.
Yeah, he needs a sensei here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Come on, Jason.
Everybody's quiet.
Yeah, tense. Jason, though.
Come on. That's really hard. That dive is hard to do, to keep that form.
Yeah, it looks hard. Oh, beautifully done.
Mm-hmm. Very little splash.
Done. Yeah.
Atta boy, Jason.
Oh, Valerie's pumped. She knows diving. You got to give her credit. She's a good diving girlfriend.
Well, he gets a 10, too.
Wow.
It's 2 9s and a 10 after Chaz got all 6s. Diving coach's like, shit, we could win this.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's Chaz.
Step it up, will ya? Oh, did he fake an injury?
Yep.
What a punk.
I have got a really bad cramp.
Ah, pussy.
Maybe it's menstrual.
It's menstrual.
Well, Chaz's got to eat more bananas, I guess.
Yep. Or take a mite off.
He pulls Thornton out of the crowd.
Yep.
He's
a student.
He is. He's on the team. He's on the replacement roster. He just doesn't happen to have at the time.
Yeah. Triple Lindy, here it comes.
I say this like, the shape I'm in, I could donate my body to science fiction.
I had a lot of pimples too. One time I fell asleep in the library. I woke up and a blind man was reading my face.
I don't have their roster right now. He comes out with the robe and everything. He just happened to have his swim gear, though, here, even though he doesn't like the lock changing in the locker room.
I don't know if you've checked out Peacock yet, but it's got a bunch of Johnny Carson episodes, and I was watching one the other day that Rodney was on. He was awesome on it.
Oh, no, I haven't checked it out yet.
Yeah.
The Triple Lindy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that camp. I was like, can we try to do the Triple Lindy? All this, some people were like, no. Because it's not physically impossible.
Not as doable as the Triple Deke or the Flying V from Mighty Ducks.
No.
Nah.
Yeah, basically you have to drop from a platform from one spring onto one springboard that's about, what, 15, 20 feet below? And then onto another springboard that's, like, to the side and down. He does the arm farts. He gets up there.
I mean, this is an all-time great athletic achievement in a movie. If you consider how long he's been out of the diving game, like, to retain this for that long.
Yeah.
Really impressive.
He still does some diving, you know. Now, look at this. Look at that. That, what's that, 20 feet at least? So,
wow. He's got to sustain. Now, too. Good thing it's not wet.
Yeah, and he's got to go to the side, control his body, and land on another springboard, and then to a third springboard.
Wow. That's where the triple comes from. There's three springboards. Yes.
And he does a backflip, and then controls his body enough where he can do a front flip.
That is a beautiful dive.
It is.
That would get you the gold medal in the Olympics. Crowd loves it. Crowd goes nuts. Lou's pumped.
Well, no matter what Thornton does, the crowd goes nuts, I think.
Yeah. Iron Man's pumped.
Iron Man's pumped.
They know there's going to be a rager back at the dorms tonight. Yankees fan in the crowd.
There you go. Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yanks are big there.
Yeah.
That was great. Lou picking up, wheeling some college
Cobb's tail there.
Yeah. Good for you, Lou. Underrated line of this movie, I always already feel like, is when he tells her, he goes, "You got to meet my nieces," back in that hot tub scene. That's like my new favorite part. You know, every time you watch a movie like that you watch a lot, you pick up on something. Like, that's, I'm going to walk away today just love, like, telling everyone about that part.
So he gets all D's in A.
Yeah.
A freshman is going to give the address. I'll tell you.
He's like the hero of this college, kind of like how, like, you know, George Bush or John Kerry are the hero of Yale or whatever, or, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Carter is the hero of Georgia or something.
They have Thornton Mellon.
Thornton Mellon, the hero of Great Lakes Hooters.
The Great Lakes Hooters. Once a Hooter, always a Hooter. Come on.
Yep.
My voice to you is, don't go. It's rough out there. I'll tell you, stay with your parents.
Your Rodney's pretty good.
Oh, thank you.
Better than mine.
I was supposed to be Rodney in the play. If we didn't, yeah. We ended up doing one this year, but.
You could have nailed it.
Actually, I was supposed to do Pee Wee. Somebody else had asked for Rodney.
All right, Estelle. God bless you, whoever you are.
God, no way I'm laughing at that.
What a film.
Great movie. I'll tell you. What a film.
That was fantastic. Thank you so much for having me, Andy. Thank you for coming,
Steve.
That was a treat. Yeah, that was a treat.
So, speaking of treats, what do you got going on your podcast that you can direct people to these days?
All right. So, the sportscasters, that we've been having a little bit of fun during the quarantine. I had an author on the show who did a book about an oral history of The Office, and that's now a podcast. I don't know if you've seen this. There's been 500,000 new podcasts during quarantine.
Really?
Yeah, total number of podcasts at the start of COVID was around 700,000, and right now it's at about 1.3 million.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, so it's a battle out there. But I've had fun. I've had John Feinstein on. I've had Scotty Bowman on the podcast. Adnan Verk. Talked movies with him. Jane Levy talked about the great Mickey Mantle. Recently had John Pessa on. He wrote a book about Yogi Berra. Jeff Passan, we talked baseball. I have Greg Wyshynski is going to be on to talk about the return of hockey. And Joe Buck is going to be on soon to talk about his break from sports. He hasn't had this long without calling games in a long time. And also we're going to talk about what happened with Fox and them basically turning their back on the golf contract and giving that back to NBC. But John Maniello and John Pessa were on the most recent one. Greg Wyshynski's on the next one. And like I said, some great ones in the back catalog. Richard Deitch, Keith Law, Adnan Verk, Scotty Bowman, S.L. Price, John Feinstein, all guests during quarantine.
All right, cool. We got Adam's Division.
Yeah, the Adam's Division podcast will be back in August. Mm-hmm. The last one we did a WrestleMania card. We went WrestleMania 1 to 14, and you got to pick 10 matches. You can only use one per Mania. You can only use each belt once, and you can only use each wrestler once.
Oof.
So this time we're going to do it for SummerSlam. We're going to go 88 to 98. And again, only one per show, only one wrestler each time. Only one belt each time. One caveat, though, is that there's a lot of championship, there's a lot of tag main events with the champion in it. You could use that match and not burn the belt. The belt has to be up for grabs. Burn the belt. But it will be difficult, and I am working on it. I know some of the fans in the Place to Be Nation are working on lists. Hollywood Dave Rollins is working on one, and a few other people. So if anyone wants to make one, and send it to me or Peter. We'll read it on the show. If you need a clarification for the rules, just find me on Twitter @sports_casters. But we will be have one to run in August.
All right, cool. As for myself, the latest episode of The Evolution is up on the wrestling feed. That is myself and the Godfather Nate Milton. We talked about Sting, and we went through his entire career, his WCW run, Mr. WCW himself, and we talked about even his run in Impact and his brief WWE run. It's quite a lengthy show, but, you know, there's a lot to talk about. And Nate, I could spend 5 hours on a podcast with Nate and I wouldn't get bored. So, you know, check that out over there on the Placement Nation Wrestling feed on their wrestling network, as Scott likes to say.
Can I mention one more wrestling thing? I'm sorry, Andy.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to mention that Pat LaPrade, who wrote the new book about Andre the Giant, the Eighth Wonder of the World, he was on a recent episode, and I have a copy of that book to give away. If one of your listeners wants to email me, thesportscasters@gmail.com, just put Andre the Giant in the subject and let me know. Give me your address. I'll send it to you if you want it.
All right, there you go. All right, cool. Hopefully somebody takes you up on that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, that's fine. It's fine. That's what we're doing here. We plug away at the end of the show. Also, check out on the wrestling feed, probably right after this show posts here on the Pop feed, the latest episode of Body Pressure Luck is up. That is Justin Rosero and Jordan Duncan host that show. I am there as the third man in the booth, the scorekeeper, the judge.
Is that guy ever
going to
lose?
Ryan, I don't know. Because, I mean, come on. He did the lightning round with the crying baby in his lap. I mean,
I feel like he took his best shot in a way, like having to literally get the last question right to keep the streak going. I told Justin, I think what you're going to have to do is go really easy and hope someone beats him in a shootout.
Yeah.
Like, I think the only way to get him is level the playing field, make it a lot easier, and see if someone can beat him 120 to 119.
There you go, like an all-star game.
Right.
Yeah, is he the Joey Chestnut of Body Pressure Luck?
He's unreal. He really is unreal.
I mean, yeah, the stuff that he comes up with.
But that guy, I think that guy could beat him. That's the other thing you could do. You bring that guy back. Like,
oh, Poulin? Yeah.
Yeah, have him play 7 games and see if he can get 1 or 2 in the best of 7.
Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully, you know, it'll be fun. And Ryan is a great guy and also hosts a show on the wrestling team, so. You know, it's not like we have a heel champ right now. We have a babyface champ.
He's on his Hogan run, the first title run, the 84 to 88 run. He's in the middle of it right now.
There you go. Also, here on PlayStation, more episodes of The Laughing Theater are coming your way. Mr. Ben Locke of many shows you hear on the wrestling feed, and a new show coming here to the Pops feed very soon. He's going to be stopping by. We're going to be watching the movie Old School, as well as our good friend Sean Kidd making his solo debut. We're going to be watching American Pie. So I'm looking forward to those shows. Lots of fun. You know, we're in like a college high school run here with some of these last movies, because the, you know, last group watch was Can't Hardly Wait. So more of those will come up. Those tend to like pop up here and there, so they're not really scheduled. So you'll see that on the feed when it comes up. Blockbuster Rewind, we have a new episode coming out very soon. That is myself, Scott Shiflett, Eric Eels. We're going to be joined by Jennifer Smith, and we will be discussing the action, the Earth is going to Get Destroyed movies of 1998. That's Armageddon and Deep Impact. That is our second episode. So really looking forward to that, as well as there'll be hopefully new episodes of Great Debate and other shows in the works here at PlayStation on the Pop feed. Don't forget, check out our associate feeds, our good friends at the Jenny Position and North-South Connection. Check out the website. Check out all of our Facebook pages. Come and vote in the Greatest Song for a Movie tournament. It's going to be going on for a few months. So, you know, every day the matchups get posted in the first 2 rounds. I think we're putting up 8 a day. Just go in there, click, boom, move on, and then come back and see who won. They only open for 2 days. So make sure you get your votes in. But I want to say a big thank you to Steve Bennett for stopping by here and joining me on the show tonight to watch Back to School. And I am Andy Afton. Thank you for joining us here on Laughing Theater. But for now, the theater is closed. And we'll see you at the next show. Take care, everybody.
Oh God.